This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
WTIC's Computer Talk with Tab is brought to you by GoNetSpeed, your choice for crazy fast fiber internet. This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC or 1-800-966-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric, and I'm flying solo. Dennis is off today. Well-deserved vacation. And we'll be back next Saturday. I want to thank you guys for joining us, for joining me on this Saturday morning. I'll be here till 11, so feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC, and I'll do my best to help you out with your questions and comments. Glenn over on the Facebook page asked me about a quick question with his Wi-Fi before I get to the phones. Come on, Glenn, where are you there? He's having issues with his Wi-Fi dropping. And he asked if that had to do with his internet service being too slow. So sometimes the people understanding this, what Wi-Fi is versus internet service, we first have to make sure you guys understand what that is. Wi-Fi is just a wireless network connection. Okay, so when your computer connects to your home system wirelessly, it connects at a internal speed, depending on how good your router is. So if you purchase a router that offers 400 megabits of bandwidth when you connect wirelessly to from your laptop to your router, that's how big your pipe is to your router. Okay, so if you had three computers on that wireless network and you wanted to send data to all three of them, you would have a 400 megabit wireless pathway. If you plugged in a gigabit cable, you'd have 1,000 megabits of bandwidth. All right, to talk between the internal network of those three computers or whatever is on your network, whether it be a TV or whether it be a gaming system. That's the internal bandwidth of your network, whatever you've purchased as far as wireless technology on that router and the capability of your device. If you have an old Windows 7 computer, maybe it's only capable of getting you 100 megabits of speed, right? Now we want to add the internet to this equation. If you're paying for a 20 megabit connection over DSL, you can have a 400 megabit wireless connection between your machine and the router, but your little 20 megabit connection to the internet is where your problem is. You need at least, I contend, minimum about 100 megabit to 150 megabits in a family of five to do most things. And then, of course, my kids will still complain that they're getting ping issues, and I have to try to explain to them that it's not necessarily us, it could be the servers they're connecting to. Try to have their head explode as I try to explain that to them, and they tell me I don't know what I'm talking about, and then I tell them, you know what I've been doing for the past 30 years? But that's just dads talking to kids. But that, you know, you want to improve your internet speed. If you can find a GoNetSpeed connection, one of the sponsors here, they are a tremendous way to get high-speed internet. If you are lucky enough to get it in your town, GoNetSpeed's the way to go. And synchronous communications, you know, I think the slowest they offer is 150 megabits up and down for like $50. It's a no-brainer. You know, if you can get that in your home, you'll do very well. Let's go to Joe in Stafford Springs next. What's happening, Joe?
Good morning.
Morning.
Yeah. I wonder if you have a recommendation for a program, a safe and reliable program, or an app that will automatically update all the drivers on my laptop. I can put a schedule, a time, once a week and so forth, and it goes right through my laptop, and it'll update all the drivers from all different companies. Is there an app that does that?
So generally, the actual manufacturer is going to try to give you that. So most laptop manufacturers will give you – this is a laptop or a PC?
It's a one-year-old Lenovo laptop.
Yep. I would practically guarantee you that Lenovo has that built into their utilities. There's probably a Lenovo driver utility that will actually say, "Hey, Joe, you know, we need to do some upgrades here." Now, here's the thing: you have to ask yourself whether or not you want that to happen on an unscheduled basis, where you literally wake up the next morning and your computer may not work because of a problem with that update, right? I would recommend to you that you choose when to do that rather than having the utility do it, so that at least you can say, okay, I'm going to bite the bullet. I'm going to do these updates. I realize that my computer may not work afterwards. You hope it. You know, you're going to give it a 90% chance that it will work, but at least you've planned for it rather than waking up to an automatic update that has caused a problem.
Yeah, that makes sense. Definitely. Another question I have is, has Microsoft come out with a upgrade on Windows 11 that prevents it from slowing down solid-state drives?
There was a bug. We did report on this bug a few weeks back, that there was some sort of issues with solid-state drives in Windows 11. Yes, they quote-unquote have fixed that particular issue. But, you know, I would still tell you to wait on upgrading to Windows 11. There's really no rush. Eventually, they're going to force you anyways. But I would tell you to still wait to do that upgrade.
Definitely. Excellent recommendation. Okay, well, thank you very much for answering my questions. I really enjoy listening to you every Saturday morning.
Joe, we appreciate it too. Thank you.
Bye now.
All right, bye-bye. I did want to bring up something about a browser that you guys should check out that I've been enjoying lately. The Brave browser. It is amazingly fast. I would tell you to take a look at it. I'm sure folks on the radio have called in and said, "Hey, Eric, I told you about that a while ago." I can't get to everything, all right? But I have gotten to this one and taken a look at it recently, and it is lightning fast. I mean, because it blocks all the trackers and all the cookies and garbage that these websites have to connect to in order to deliver the content to you before they deliver it. All that waiting that's happening in the background is because of all those connections you're making to third parties. The Brave browser won't let them. And I mean, it's like wham. Everything's coming up super, super fast on every device I've tried this on, whether it's my, I got a Pixel phone, I've tried it on a tablet, I've tried it on some Windows 10 machines. I'm going to recommend you take a look at it and check it out. I'm going to put a link to the Brave browser for you, so you can check it out. We need some alternatives. Chrome is fine, but we're all getting a little sick of the Googleplex tracking everything that we do. And not that you're doing anything wrong, of course. But the point is, if you can have a high-speed connection to the internet, you pay for this high-speed connection, and all these third-party trackers and connections to your browser are slowing you down, you know, let's try the Brave browser out and see if that gives you... If it gives you the same performance it gave me, I'd love to hear from you guys. If you try to try it before the end of the show, I'd love to hear from you. All right, let's go to Doug in Chester next. What's going on, Doug?
Hey, good morning.
Morning.
How's it going?
Great.
Hey, I had a question about the display settings for the lock screen in Windows 10.
Display settings for the lock screen?
Well, actually, you go to settings, and then there's lock screen. Let's see. What is it? It's like specification lock screen. That's the actual. And then you can, you're supposed to be able to put the weather on the lock screen. For some reason, that functionality never worked. I'm wondering Windows just stop doing that, or if you know, if you could verify, or not sure.
I get my weather from Bob Cox. Come on. You're going to get it from Microsoft.
Yeah, I know. Seriously, that's what I think a lot of companies have been doing with their weather. It's like Google Calendar stopped doing that little illustrative little thing with the weather that they kind of minimize that. Everybody's weather from everywhere else. So I was wondering if they kind of did away with that, maybe perhaps security purposes.
I haven't heard anything, but you can add, and I've never played with this before, so it's interesting. It looks like you can add, of course, which apps you want to show on the lock screen. So if you ended up subscribing to some app for weather, I'm sure you could add it here. Like by default, Microsoft gives you mail, a calendar, and Skype. You can add about four other apps on that lock screen.
That's one of the choices, the built-in Microsoft weather. And I keep trying that, and that one never worked. So I tried it later, and then I got bored the other day, and I tried it again to see if they patched it or whatever, but no, it doesn't.
Yeah, I don't even see it as an option.
Subscription basis?
It might be. Doug, you're kind of breaking up there down there in Chester, but it could be some subscription thing, but I don't know that I would spend too much time trying to figure it out. The more you add to the startup, the slower your machine's going to be, too.
Oh, yeah, sure. I have no worries. I got a pretty fast machine. I was just wondering if it worked or not and whatever. I guess it's just like, I don't know. Okay, cool. I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you. All right, okay, bye. All right, his connection is a little tough there. But, yeah, I mean, anything you add gimmicky to that beginning of your Windows is just going to potentially cause problems for you as far as I'm concerned. You know, anything you can eliminate from your startup or eliminate from getting loaded on Windows before it comes up will probably give you a better performance. All right, so we have four lines wide open. I'm here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC are the numbers. And, of course, I'm also on the old Facebook page over at WTIC's Facebook page. If Zuckerberg deems the broadcast worthy, you might see it in your news feed. So feel free to like and share. And if you have some comments you want to post on there, I'm happy to do my best to try to answer those as well. And I want to thank the folks who are on the old Facebook page. And, of course, everything we've talked about so far has been posted by Mike G over at ComputerTalkWithTab.com. So if you called in with a question, we will have some answers for you out there as well as far as step-by-step instructions. If you want to take a look at some of the news articles I talked about, it's always there over at ComputerTalkWithTab.com. It's the name of the show.com, which also works. We'll be right back. And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric, and I'm here till 11 o'clock. Dennis is off this Saturday morning, but I appreciate you guys joining me. And I'm doing my best to help you out flying solo here with your computer problems, comments, questions, concerns. 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC are the numbers. And let's get to your calls. We're going to go to Lynn in Naugatuck first. What's happening, Lynn?
Oh, just a simple question. Mm-hmm. I wondered about cookies.
Yes.
You know, when I go on a site and they say accept or don't accept. And I know they give a little explanation, but I'm still not clear on it.
Yeah. You're not alone, right? So every site that's on there is going to try to load a cookie of some kind on your browser. And whether or not you should accept it really comes down to the trustworthiness of the site you're going to. So if you're going to a site that you feel has value, that is something you're going to frequent, you're going to want to accept the cookies because the experience on that site will be quote-unquote better with the cookies delivered to your browser. However, the cookies now are on your browser, right? So other sites now are going to say, oh, I see Lynn went to cooking.com, right? So they're going to try to, the other cookies are going to look at those cookies and say, okay, so where else does Lynn go? So the more cookies you accumulate, there's other technologies out there, no matter where you surf, that want to try to figure that information out. And that's why that Brave browser I talked about, try the Brave browser and see how many things it blocks and improves your performance. You might be amazed. But you can still accept cookies for sites you trust. You know, your bank, you could accept cookies for financial planning site. You can accept cookies for maybe even news sites that you trust. You can accept their cookies. But do understand that other sites you go to are going to try to figure out, I wonder if Lynn's got these cookies or those cookies. Because the sites know where you were prior. So if you go from one site to the next site to the next site, the cookies are there so they can go back and say, oh, Lynn went here today. She went there today. Oh, she's interested in that. And then they deliver ads to you.
So they see that I went on one site and accepted cookies? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, they'll see the information you accepted because the browser has it all there. right? It's like it's part of tracking, and you can turn on Do Not Track, but that information is all part of your browser. People don't realize this stuff. They don't realize that the next site you went to, it could say, okay, I see Lynn came from cooking.com and now she's going to REI or whatever, your hikings.com. You know, they can look at that information that's on your browser and produce kind of an understanding of you, which is the goal of the cookie. So if you trust the site and you don't mind that the next site might know where you just were, except the cookies. And again, the performance of the site might depend on it. You might get a better performance of whatever you're browsing by accepting the cookies.
And trying I think they said that. I think they said I would get more if I clicked on it.
Right. So again, it's free, you're the commodity, right? So they're just trying to be compliant, which of course, whether or not you accept the cookies or not, of course, everyone accepts the EULA, user license agreement, with whatever software we load these days. So just having that warning on there doesn't really tell us to what extent they're using this information. You know, it's not sandboxed where it's, you know, hey, I went to CNN.com and nobody else is going to know that I did that. No, every other website that wants to figure out where you've been is going to look at your cookie cache and see what you've been doing. Why? Because they want to market to you. They're more interested in that data than anything else. And heck, the cookie cache will actually have information on what stories you read, right? I mean, it can get pretty insidious. So trying to figure out which cookie to accept and which cookie not to accept, it's impossible, really.
Even if you don't, there's like a monitoring of everything I do on my computer, I guess.
Well, that would be done through DNS. So if you use OpenDNS like we recommend,
right,
your cable provider or whoever you're using for your internet will have a harder time selling that information. Right. Now again, OpenDNS is free from Cisco. Might they be selling it too? Of course.
Oh, okay.
So then you ask, okay, Eric, well, what about if I use a VPN? Well, yep, you can use a VPN in your own home. And now when you're connected to the internet, you're going to be popping out on the Nord VPN, let's say, in some server in Los Angeles. If you're paying for the service, I would contend that VPN service shouldn't sell your information. If you're not paying for it, they could still sell it too. And we found a lot of VPN services are misconfigured in that they use your local DNS rather than that server's DNS in Los Angeles. So being private on the internet is virtually impossible, is kind of what I'm saying.
Yeah. And then if I don't accept it, you know, when I'm on a site, they still let me see it.
Right.
You know? So there's no harm done there.
Correct. Yep. You can say no. I a lot of times just ignore the question.
Oh, and keep scrolling, right?
Right.
Yeah.
To what extent I know I'm being less informational or not, I don't know. I'm a geek, but I'm not a web developer, right? I have no idea the insidious backside of the equations that are done to try to capture the data that I produce or anybody produces. So it's
okay.
Just assume that your data is being gathered.
Right. Okay. Well, thank you very much.
All right,
appreciate it.
Yeah, good luck.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Bye.
Yeah, I wish I could say with certainty, but I really can't. I'm going to go to Chuck in Connecticut. That's all he says, Chuck in Connecticut. What's going on, Chuck?
Hey, how you doing?
Good, sir.
I work with a local municipality, and we just lost our IT person,
mm-hmm.
and our existing IT vendor seems unable to work with us if we don't have a local person.
Oh.
So I'm wondering what are the attributes I would need to find a new IT vendor who could service to small municipality?
What are the attributes? Okay. Well, I mean, I'm going to be biased in this answer.
I presume that.
So one of the key factors for us is that we don't force long-term contracts. So many of our competitors that are in our field will lock companies down to, you know, 3-year, I've even seen 5-year contracts. So if you find that you don't have good success with your IT provider, you're still stuck paying for the majority of the contract, even though you want to fire them. So look out for that. Most, if they lock you into those kind of things, I would contend they're afraid of something. The other thing is longevity. How long have they been around? You know, a track record like Tab's of over almost 40 years says something, you know, about our, we're not perfect, but we do a pretty good job. And we will work with folks that don't have internal IT. The majority of our 400 plus clients that we work with, over 8,000 systems, the majority of them don't have internal IT. And a lot of the reason for that is because a lot of the times, in small companies especially, that internal IT person really has the keys to your store. So, you know, they have, as an admin of your entire system, they have access to everything. And a lot of small businesses are not comfortable with giving just an average employee carte blanche access to everything. They don't even realize they've done it, frankly, half the time. So those are some of the attributes. And of course, you know, do they do training? Do they have, you know, do they have skilled technicians? It's just a matter of all those things wrapped into one. That would be the attributes you want to consider. But the long-term contract has been the more common issue, because I've picked up even towns who were stuck paying their last IT provider that they're trying to get rid of, and even were sued by not paying it. I can fire my attorney, I can fire my accountant, but I can't fire my IT guy. You know, it gets kind of crazy out there, Chuck. Hope that helps you.
Yeah, the guy we just looked at was looking for a 3-year.
Right. That's ridiculous. What are you afraid of?
And he's not even local.
Yeah. Yeah. So give us a ring, Chuck. I'll be there on Monday.
I had the checkbook, I would.
All right, sir.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, guys, I'm going to be here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. Joe in Plainville, hang on. Three lines open for you, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC are the numbers. This is Computer Talk with Tab. Coming up at 11, Dr. Alessi will be in. He'll give you a second opinion on your health advice. Also, don't forget the podcasts. Odyssey.com, you can get all the WTIC podcasts. So check that out as well. We'll be right back. Back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric. Dennis is off, and I'll be here till 11 o'clock. So if you ever get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC are the numbers. I just want to bring up a quick story about a town that we did pick up as a client a few years ago now, and because we had the caller asking about what you should look for in an IT provider. This story is just ridiculous, really. The town's old IT provider had registered the town's name, so let's just call it springfield.com. And when they fired him, he wouldn't give them their domain back. So all their email, their business cards, their stationery, all the communications, their website was all registered by him as if he owned the town, right? Now, this is because of basically a flaw in the system that says, you know, you have somebody register your domain, they can own it. You know, even though they paid him to register the domain for them, he decided, well, that means I get to own you. So when he fired them, when they fired him, I should say, we tried to help and arrest the domain from him, and he wouldn't give it back. So the town sues him, right? They take him to small claims court and sue him. Meanwhile, you know, they had to decide what they're going to do with their domain, and they would have to either set up a whole new domain, new email addresses, and the whole shooting match, or hope to win the lawsuit. Well, you know, the judge said, 9/10 of the law, he registered it as his. He owns it. Town, go pound sand. I couldn't believe it. Couldn't believe it. Just amazing. What's even worse, here's what's worse. The guy then sues the town for vexatious lawsuit as if they were inappropriate in trying to get their domain back. And guess what? He wins that too. So, moral of the story is, you know who your IT guy is. If they don't have any moral scruples, you're in trouble. And if you can't fire them easily, you're also in trouble. You know, you actually, and I say this to clients I pick up all the time, you will understand who you have as an IT provider when you let them go, just to see how difficult they make that transition from them to the new provider. You'll realize who those folks were at that time, or if they make you pay for a contract that you no longer want. So I would tell you, what are they afraid of if they're going to lock you into 3 years of service, whether you like them or not? All right, moving on. I had to tell you that story, though, because it's just ridiculous. Let's go to Joe in Plainville. True story. Hey, Joe.
Hey, Eric. How you doing?
Good, sir. How are you?
Well, thank you. I'm in a cell, so hopefully I don't lose you here.
Okay.
So I've got a question. I've recently had to get a new PC for work. My previous one died.
Yep.
And the new one, fully loaded, Windows 10 Pro, all that good stuff. And I downloaded Firefox because one of the programs that I use works best on Firefox.
Okay.
So So everything's been loaded. Everything's fine. The problem that I'm having with this one particular, well, actually with everything, no matter what I'm doing online, when I'm using Firefox, and this is like a SaaS platform that I'm using too. And so what's happening is if I go into like a drop-down menu and I select something, what'll happen is the Firefox freezes for a good maybe 5 to 10 seconds, and then it makes the selection that I chose, and then everything is fine. But when I go to do the same thing again, it freezes when I do a drop down, or if, let's say, I right click on something, if there's ping error or something like that, anything that I seem to do in Firefox, it's freezing up. Sometimes it even kind of blanks out and then comes back. Now, I've kind of gone through some settings in Firefox. It's not the SaaS platform because I know it worked before on the previous machine I had. Have you ever heard of this or any ideas?
Well, you're not alone. I'm seeing a lot of posts on Firefox freezing. Now, to have it specifically freeze, I haven't heard anything on our client base. See, with Dennis here, he's on our help desk, so he sees a lot more than I do on a daily basis. But it has. They talk about turning off your hardware acceleration to see if that helps. That might be an option for you. I would tell you to consider an alternative browser. That's usually the first thing I would tell somebody to do, just to see if.
Yeah, I've moved over to Chrome. I just don't. It's so intrusive.
Yes.
I just don't care for it. That's the problem. And I've always on the previous machine, I didn't have any issues with Firefox at all.
Well, the previous machine is a previous machine.
Right. No, I mean, all other things being equal, you would think that it would, you know, work the same.
How old? I mean, it's not, you know, all things, unfortunately, aren't equal. The operating system was probably different. The processor was different. Also, the generation of processor was different. I agree with you on the Chrome thing. I've been talking about the Brave browser this morning, and I would tell you to check out Edge 2 just to see if the problem moves. It sounds like the problem didn't move in Chrome, right?
No, right. I didn't have any issues in Chrome.
Okay, so then you know it's a Firefox setting issue.
Yep.
So I could put a link here as far as dealing with Firefox freezing in general, and maybe one of these changes will fix it. Have you tried the hardware acceleration issue?
I didn't know where to find it, and... You know, like I said, it's a work PC, so I'm trying to get things done and not have to spend a lot of time.
Yeah.
With it, if you can explain that to me, I'd be happy. I'm not in front of it now, but I can certainly.
Yeah, it's under the general settings under performance. They're telling you to either use or try either one. If it's checked, uncheck it. If it's not checked, check it. And see if that solves that. Obviously, update to the latest version, but I suspect you've done that.
Yeah, I mean, I've only had the machine for maybe 3 weeks. So yeah. when I installed Firefox, it was the most recent version. I'll try hardware acceleration and see what that looks like.
Yeah, and the clearing the history, if you only have it for a short time, there's no history issues there. What else did they talk about? That's really the only things. And check out the Brave browser.
Okay.
I mean, I'm really hot on it lately. I've been very impressed with how fast it works, and that might be the greatest thing since sliced bread.
Brave, Brave.
Yeah. I'll put a link up to you. It has a little red. It's a little red icon with a little lion face, and we'll put it up there for you to check out too.
Sounds great. Thanks, Eric. I appreciate it.
All right, Joe.
Take care.
Yeah. Bye bye. So yeah, I mean, you go from one machine to another, and I hear you. People think a computer is a computer is a computer, and I don't blame you for thinking that way. I feel the same way about cars, right? It's just a car. But a computer has got so many different things about it that can contribute to an issue. You know, the type of hard drives, the version of processor, how many cores, how much RAM. There's a lot involved in the machine, and just because it's in a metal case, you know, the innards are really where it hits the road there as far as performance. Now, in this case, software too, right? Operating system, drivers, versions, why Firefox would freeze. I'll put this link up there for you. There's all sorts of reasons browsers freeze, and Firefox has ways of dealing with it. Maybe there's an issue with the site he's going to too, but if it works with Chrome, then it's probably not the case. So feel free to get online, guys. 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC are the numbers. I'm here till 11 o'clock, and then Dr. Alessi will be in with Healthy Rounds. He'll give you a second opinion on your health advice. Quickly talking about my kids. I know I promised not to do that, but there's no call, so I'm going to do it. but it has to do with IT. So I'm getting, I mean, my kids are home for break, right? They go to UConn and they're home for break, and of course they game like their father does too. And when they're online, if they have any kind of issue with they're playing soccer with cars. I mean, it's crazy. It's some sort of crazy game where you actually play soccer with cars. I'm sure Matt's aware of it. It's a fun game. But if you have a dropping issue or some sort of performance issue, you're going to go to dad and say, "Hey, dad, the internet stinks here. I need you to upgrade it." And to try to explain to your son, you know, ping and any kind of latency issues, and you actually have to explain to them that it's not us, it's the site. You can't get it through them. Right, they blame the internet. I'm like, I'm able to watch a movie at the same time, no issues. Now, of course, when everyone's on the network, and to their point, you can have a performance issue. It can produce latency. It can produce ping issues when everyone's trying to do all sorts of things on the internet. Of course, the internet company then wants to sell you more bandwidth, right? And okay, fine, but you need to first see what your latency and your ping levels are to see whether or not it's a bandwidth issue or it could be the server host, right? For some reason, everyone seems to think that the internet service is right next door, that the gaming service you're connecting to is literally right next door. They don't realize you're flying out a cable wire, going through all sorts of switching technology, and landing on somebody else's servers who's serving up the game to you. All those things from point A to point B produce latency, produce, you know, delays in the ping. And you need to know if your ping is good or not to start with, not being on those servers, to see if it's you or them. So try to troubleshoot that with some cranky college kids and say, no, you need faster internet. It's not the internet, man. It's the gaming service you're using. These gaming services have issues just like anybody else. They're in the cloud. They have X number of servers. They can host X number of systems. And if they're going to have performance issues because all you guys are home playing the internet, playing these games, they're going to have performance issues, right? Think of the cloud as a big tenement building in the sky. It's a bunch of servers in the sky. They're going to need to add more servers to service the folks that are coming in and using the game. So it's not just on your end that you have to worry about it, is my point. It could be on the other side. We got Dan in East Windsor on the line. Hey, Dan, what's up?
Hey, Eric, a couple of questions.
Yeah.
One is about my personal computer with Windows 11. I actually have it set up as a dual boot, Windows 11 and Windows 10. For some reason,
wow,
with Windows 11, when Windows 11 starts, I get a buzzing noise out of my speakers, but then once Windows starts, everything is fine. I don't get that in the Windows 10.
Well, that sounds like a driver issue in Windows 11 with your sound card. Windows 11 doesn't have a built-in buzz, so it's got to be that driver for that sound card has got a problem. After it boots up, does it come up?
Well, everything's fine once it boots.
Yeah, I'm thinking it's talking to the hardware, and that's producing that buzz.
Okay.
And that's with the driver. You may want to just update that. Do you know what? Well, how old's your hardware? Is it relatively current?
No, it's probably 7 or 8 years old.
Oh, yeah. So 11's probably not knowing what to do with that driver and that hardware being so old.
Okay. Second question I have for you is I'm trying to set up a computer for a friend of mine. It's her computer. She wanted me to redo it for her, and she likes Windows 7, so I was putting it back on there. And I went through the process like I normally do after installing it when it came up to where you put your name in, and I'm pressing on Control-Shift-F3 to boot into the administrator profile, so I could just run sysprep on it, and then when she turns it on, she could do everything and put her own stuff in there. And but when it came up on the administrator profile, it wouldn't let me in. It just, without even me trying to put anything in, it just said the password is incorrect. It won't let me into the administrator profile.
Well, that's,
I mean, it's a fresh clean install. I mean,
yeah. Well, so though, my first inclination is you miskeyed it, or you have something wrong. Like you have a cap and a non-cap. Microsoft's not locking you out on purpose.
Fresh clean install Windows 7, and when you come up to where you want to put your own name and stuff, you know, did Control-Shift-F3, you know, to boot into the default administrator profile, you know, into audit mode, so I could install whatever and then sysprep the machine afterwards, but it won't let me in. So the password is incorrect. There is no password. None was ever, you know, put in.
Well, yeah, okay. Well, you've tried it. You've tried blank. I mean, could you by accident have gotten the password in there you're not aware of?
No, because it's right after, you know, when you install it, you press Control-Shift-F3,
yeah,
boots into audit mode. That's, you know, normally if, you know, everything goes fine, it boots into audit mode, which is the default administrator profile.
Yeah.
but this one, it boots into the default administrator profile, but right away, without even, before I even have a chance to put anything in, as soon as the screen comes up, there's the little red X that says that the password is incorrect.
And yeah. Have you tried booting in safe mode?
Yeah, same thing.
Okay. I was going to say, there's an option there to try to get around it there and try to type the account in.
Yeah, I mean, I found a workaround, but the point is, you know.
What was the workaround?
Yeah. Well, probably something you don't really want to have me say over the air. I mean, but, you know, it involves, you know, some file manipulation, you know. I mean, I can tell you if you want.
No. I am getting your meaning. But something must have gone wrong. I mean, that's all I can think of. I don't know of any issue where if you don't put the password in, it still thinks you have a password unless you've somehow done it by accident. This is a fresh, clean installation, so something glitched on you. I mean, have you tried wiping and reloading?
Not yet. I'm going to, but I'm probably going to end up just having to use the same workaround. It just involves just, you know, this involves changing a file name so you can bring up a command prompt when you do a certain thing. You know what I mean?
I do. Yeah. And if you only need to do it occasionally, you're not going to give her admin credentials, or are you?
No. I don't need them or want them.
Yeah. So you could do your thing. I mean, the world of IT, wipe and reload is pretty much where we start when it comes to Microsoft. I don't have any reason as to why it's doing what it's doing to you. I've never seen it myself.
I haven't either. Normally it works just fine doing that way.
Yeah, what you did seems normal, but why I would ask for a password that's not there doesn't make any sense to me. And the workarounds you've tried, you know, in safe mode would be the normal approach. And you're doing the higher level approach by messing with the file level, so you're obviously a very skilled, you're a geek, man.
And by the way, I don't know if you saw my comment about Windows Defender on the Facebook
page. Dan, you're that Dan.
Yeah, it tried to delete utilman.exe from my computer unsuccessfully, of course, but you know,
right.
But it tried on my facepalm. It's your own file. Yeah.
That is crazy, right? So we are becoming more of Windows Defender's fans only because across our client base we want to make sure they're protected, and we were disappointed in what we found with Webroot. So yes, you're right. I mean, it's back to Microsoft. Why would Microsoft try to kill utilman as part of their operating system? It makes no sense.
Yeah.
But that's the world of Microsoft. How long have you been in the business, Dan?
I'm actually not in the business. I'm just a geek.
Okay. Well, you sound like you know what you're doing. You need a job? We need more geeks.
I don't have any certifications. I'm self-taught.
We'll get you trained up.
Believe it or not, it all started from way back when I had my very first computer. I had a Compaq, and I'm sure you know what a nightmare those were.
Yep.
So, it got to the point where I was having to call Compaq tech support almost every day for something or other. And eventually I just, you know, I remember what they would tell me to do. And so I would just go and do it, and without even having to call them.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually I just learned more and more on my own just by, you know, Google searches and various tech blogs and stuff. And so, you know, here I am.
So I don't know if you've heard the show before, but we have a relationship with IT Pro TV.
I heard that.
Yeah, I mean, if you do want to get some formal training and get a little more deeper knowledge, it's a really great affordable way to get trained up on technology at any areas of technology. And there's a link on our Computer Talk site if you want to check it out. They do a good job, and it sounds like you're more than just a passive IT person.
Well,
you might find it interesting to know how all the sausage is made.
Yeah. Two things you don't want to know how it's made: sausage and laws.
That's true. Yeah. So,
all right. Thanks, Eric.
All right, Dan.
Get other calls.
Yeah. Well, thanks for calling in.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Yeah. I mean, the thing with Microsoft, I mean, it's Windows 11 is where we are here in the year 2022. And, you know, it just seems like it's the same old thing. It's like Groundhog Day. Everything, you know, the more it changes, the more it stays the same. And you're dealing with service pack issues, updates. We at Tab are dealing with, or fighting more often with, Microsoft induced issues, right? I talked about the Exchange issue that Microsoft induced by not even knowing what the calendar date is, having their actual security tool break mail servers because the date changed. We shouldn't be dealing with that these days, right? Updates, you know, we had callers talking in about Microsoft and their issues with solid state drives harming them, causing performance issues on Windows 11. It's Windows 11, for crying out loud. It's not Windows 1. It's Windows 11. It's been around for 26, 27 years. They're a trillion-dollar company. Their QC needs to get better. I mean, I know I'm in the business, right, and without their all their problems, but the point is I'm not in the business to babysit Microsoft's problems. I'm in the business to help my business clients actually get results, right? You're not – if you're a plumbing company, an accounting company, or a finance company, you're not paying an IT guy to babysit Microsoft problems. You want to get something out of your technology. And if we're still fighting with Microsoft on service packs and driver issues and they don't even know what date it is, it gets frustrating as an IT guy. But you IT guys out there know that. So I'm speaking to the whatever. I want to thank you guys for joining me on this Saturday morning. Everything's been talked about. It's been posted over at computertalkwithtab.com. So I want to thank Mike G for doing that for me. Oh, obviously, on the Facebook page, it's out there as well. You can catch us on the podcast over at Odyssey. The podcast will be up probably by Monday morning or Tuesday. Joey will do that for you guys. I want to thank you guys for joining us. I want to wish you a great Happy New Year. It's 2022. Let's make it the best and stick around. Dr. Alessi's up next. Thank you, Mike. Matt Sorois for producing, and like I said, Mike G for posting everything live. See you next Saturday.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 40% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale Last Chance right now and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Signature Farms chicken, split breasts, drumsticks, or thighs, buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Or a wheat variety bread, 24-ounce selected varieties, buy one, get one for free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And Progresso soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties, buy two, get three free of equal or lesser value when you buy five. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.